Blog Talk Radio.
Opinions expressed in the media or comments on this show are those of the speaker or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by our ministry. All material is gathered from other sources, and we only comment on publication and previous social formatted information. Due to the social nature of this information, it may contain content copyrighted by another entity or person. Deeper Look claims no copyright to said content. The Deeper Look can't be held accountable for the copyrighted content. The Deeper Look is a messenger and sharer of information and strives to verify but cannot warrant the accuracy of copyrights or completeness of the information on this format. If you have a complaint about something or find your content is being used incorrectly, please contact the Deeper Look prior to making a copyright claim. Any infringement was not done on purpose and will be rectified to all parties' satisfaction.
God bless you. It's another great night. I'm Dr. Jackson, and I'm coming to you for our Deeper Look broadcast. Well, Nation, we've been through so much, and we are still recovering everything that took.
Media or comments on this show are those of the speaker or authors and do not necessarily.
Did it create a different streaming link for my email customer? I haven't checked now.
Thanks, y'all, for hanging on tonight.
We've been talking about some real issues, and I'm so glad to have each and every one of y'all. If you will share, I'm doing that right now. I want to talk about some really poignant things tonight. I think it's going to be very powerful, some of the things that we're going to share tonight, and hopefully it's going to help you, make you so much better. And I want to deal with a lot of things that are going on in the country. One of the things is that I want to talk about early. I had a conference call on the other day with people that were interested in starting businesses and getting economic freedom and looking for new options. If you are out there and you're going through some kind of economic trauma, or you're thinking that this is going to eventually affect you, the out of school, out of work, your hours are being cut back. I have an economic opportunity that would probably put about $500 to $2,500 a month, excuse me, week in your pocket. For some of you, that will be the replacement of what your job does, and you're in the, you're in ups, you're in a frenzy, trying to figure out what you can do. Now, my line I meet with everyone is at 11 o'clock on tomorrow. So if you're out there, I want you to call in. The number is 904-606-5377. And I want you to give me a call. It's got Wednesday's time on it, but that's okay. I want you to give us a call on Friday at 606-5377. We're going to be on kind of talking with some real issues and hopefully help you become financially strong during these chaotic times. And so tonight is going to be really different. I'm going to open up the lines tonight. I've got some keynotes that are going to be coming to us, some great, great people that I think are in my own rights. I believe they're experts at various different subject matters. But they're going to deal with some pointed stuff tonight. And I want you to be able to hear what they're saying and what they're going to say tonight. I think it's going to be insight. One thing about this format, I don't think that I know it all. I don't have all the answers. But what I promise you is that I will always bring to surface those that have opinions and answers. Hopefully, if we can create a dialogue, deeper look is just what it says. We're going to take a deeper look at some real life issues and talk about real issues that are going in the world. Politics. I hit Sister Denise up, thought I was going to hear back from her, but she really is a political analyst at home, right? And we're going to talk about this Bernie Sanders and versus, of course, Biden. And see, I want to have both parties, people that believe in Biden and people that believe in Bernie Sanders, and hear from their camps. And also, we know that President Trump automatically will have the Republican nomination, so there's no need to have someone from his camp because that's not going on right now. But when, eventually, as we get closer towards the election, I want to bring all of those parties in, and I want to talk. We want to talk shop. What do they believe in? And we're open. But if you, again, we're getting ready to get in our show tonight, but if you are a business leader or a person that needs to start your business and you're financially struggling, maybe your business is taking a hit, you own a restaurant that's a sit-down restaurant, or you got a business ever and it's taking a hit, or maybe you're not. Maybe you're just mom and pop, you're a good old lady, and you're struggling to figure out what you're going to do economically in these times. I really, really, really want to urge you to make my conference call tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. I guess I turned my thing up. That was very foolish. But I want you to be here with us. I think I'm going to help a lot of people. I want to help some people. There's no buying no soap or selling no soap or products or ordering stuff for the car and anything. It's real. You know, it's a great opportunity. There's no hundreds of dollars of investments. It's not multi-level marketing. None of those things. It's a really great product that I think is going to help you. A great business endeavor. Real simple. And within 24 hours, you can start making money. So that's going to be good. And hopefully many of you will plug in. I have benefited greatly. I can just be honest with you. I took a pay cut because of this tragedy. We got 91 campuses, and we have 16 out of the country. There are people that have been affected literally all over the world, and payrolls have to be done. And as a leader, I made the decision to say, okay, no pay for me. Let's take care of the ministry. Let's take care of the people that's out here around the world, and that's that staff. If, you know, imagine having 91 campuses. That's almost 1,000 people that eat statewide from what you do. That's a lot of payroll. That's a lot of money that has to be allocated for those persons. And so it is affecting all of us in different ways. But we are confident in the God we serve, that he is faithful. We have contingency plans in place. We're beginning to switch into our contingency mode, and it's going to work for us. Well, tonight, I want to talk tonight about something that's real important to church people, and especially some of my Jacksonvillians that are here, that are in Jacksonville. Hopefully, I've got he keep a check on the line. He can let me know who's on the line and when they get on the line. I'll greatly appreciate that, man of God, because I want to talk about the door didn't open quite the right way. I mean, a bunch of things that were going on that created closure. And so with this is going on, many of the big churches were hit, and they're not able to have service. They're streaming. Some of the small churches were already knocked out of the way that they're not able to really have services. So the churches that has, 20, 30, 40, 50 members, many of those churches are gone, and they don't exist any longer. Or, I call them churches on the black market. They're operating where they shouldn't be operating for the most part. And then there's some that may have had existing facilities that had done everything they needed to do, and they're in good standing. Pastor Atlas, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. I wanted to talk tonight about the status of the church, especially the status of the small church that's going on. And what I was sharing with our audience is amazingly, the church on the local side in Jacksonville was already under attack. It was a small church with, kind of shutting them down and city ordinance coming against their facilities and things of that sort. Now, we dealt with that previously. We're a much larger organization, so we were able to sustain that in a facility that has met all the guidelines. But there are many people that are out there that were in churches that didn't meet the guidelines. So what's amazing to me is that there are some small churches that are having church that the fire marshal during this particular season, what's going on. And so there's a chance that there will be very little churches in our city. I think it's been a progressive attack. I'm not saying that any one person is behind it, but I think ultimately, no matter who is the pawn that the devil uses, it is still the devil that's doing the attack. And so churches throughout America, but Jacksonville and the city which I'm in is definitely under a strenuous attack. And I want you to talk about the attack of the church and what do you think about the church and where she's going to find herself at as a result of that. Pastor Atlas, glad to have you on tonight.
And a lot of people don't understand that. And a lot of people think that basically the churches get some type of grants or the cities don't let us pay JEA and all that crazy stuff. But the church is it's basically a business. And as there's no guideline in a sense. And unfortunately, we live in a society that older pastors who churches are more established are not as likely to help a new pastor understand the game more of the business aspect of church unless, they cover you. And so a lot of pastors basically, as I did myself, basically was out here basically just, trial and error. You try to call down to the city, and their website has gotten better. I mean, better than it was when we first started. And you're trying to find information about how to start a church and what all you need to do that. It's not readily available for you. So you almost have to do a lot of trial and error and spending a lot of money to get going. And so, you find a building. And you say, well, we'll start our church in this building. And you don't realize there's a lot of things that Half Church has a firewall that separates the buildings. Going into that, you don't know that. You wouldn't look to see if that's what the building has. For the most part, you're trying to find what building can you get in that'll fit your budget. And 9 times out of 10, that building that you find is not up to code, but the landlord wants to rent it out, so he's going to tell you it is. And you won't find out until the fire marshal comes knocking on your door that it's not. So there's a lot of things that has happened to us as a church. One of the things we tried to do is we tried to get a city's grant for summer camp. And in trying to get that grant for the summer camp going, There's a little thing in there that you have to have is called an occupancy capacity. You have to have that certificate. And in order to get that certificate, the fire marshal has to come inspect your building. 9 times out of 10, your building will not be ready for inspection when you come. And there are a lot of things that you have to have, such as a certificate of use, in some cases a change of use form. There's really no licenses you need to start the church, but you have to have that COU is what they call it. If he comes, he's going to also ask for the drawings of the building, and you need to have that in order for him to determine what are that paperwork, those drawings of the floor plan. And if you don't have them, you have to have an architect to get one. And when we tried to call for our little building, the architect wanted to charge us $5,000. So now I got to pay for occupancy. I have to pay for the COU, get that. I have to also pay for the
change of use. $5,000 is cheap.
Yeah. That's going to cost you. And then you got to pay for the
deal. My price was like 15. They were talking 15 grand.
Yeah.
And that was a deal.
And just imagine as a small church trying to build. I mean, then they'll shut you down. So it's like, how can I raise this money as a ministry for the building if we're not operable? But that's a lot of things that's going on through the city. And I've been screaming and yelling at all these different meetings. And every time I go downtown for them to at least, if you're going to do that, have a task force in place to assist these churches with finding out the help that they need. The gentleman that came and shut us down, I asked him a question. I said, well, how am I supposed to do this? I mean, who do I go to? He said, that's up to you to find out. Well, if I would have knew that information up front, I would have had it done already. To tell you, he probably is not as knowledgeable about what he's supposed to be doing. I'll put it that way. And so that's one of the biggest faults, because he's shutting down some churches that actually have their stuff together, but because they don't have it per his level of knowledge, a lot of times he has the ability to shut it, authority to shut it down. And, you know, and I don't think it's a coincidence that as the churches are getting shut down, crime has been going up. Personally, I believe it's these smaller churches that are in the trenches, that are in the neighborhood, that are really connected to it and can have a great impact on the people that live in that general area. Now, all churches have their impact, but those smaller churches that are right there in walking distance, right there on the same block as the trap house, yeah, those smaller churches, those pastors have a different level of impact because of their how they're set up in the neighborhood. But and it seems as if that there's no care, there's no understanding. As he told me, there's no such thing as grandfather, because even your grandfather can get set on fire. I was like, wow, okay, no grandfather and stuff going on here. So that's a lot of stuff that the average person don't know, and that, especially the average pastor. And I can say 5 years ago, 6 years ago, it's been pushing us out. When I tell you, I know at least 40 pastors who've been, since that time, pushed out of their church for similar reasons. And I can just give you a quick list of things. I don't know what direction you really want me to go in here, but I'll just give you a couple things that he got us for that I see in a lot of churches that I go in. First thing that they look for when you're coming up to the building, one, when you open the door, when you're pushing the door in, he told me it was a Class B felony. I've never heard a B felony before, but he educated me then. He says the Class B felony that your door opens in a commercial building. All doors in a commercial building must open outward. That if in the event it's a fire, everybody should be able to push the door out and get out. Now, it makes sense to me, because if you're pushing the door in and you got it, or if you're going out of the building, you got to pull the door back, that takes time to get out of that. So I definitely understand that. But that's one of the things he cited us for. So if you know some churches whose door swings in, it won't be long before the fire marshal checks it, come over there and check on them as well. Also, have your emergency lights and your emergency exit signs. The emergency lights have to be into the electrical system, of course. Not only the emergency lights, but the exit signs. We had exit signs that glow in the dark. You know, they glowed in the dark, for lack of a better term. And the building, you would still get cited for having those. Also, you got to have the fire extinguishers. Don't get the ones from Home Depot. Trust me, I made those mistakes. The kitty will not be in your commercial building. You have to have the one where the companies come out and they tag them and do all of that. You have to have the real ones. Also, emergency egress doors, and that's a fancy word for all of the doors that you've seen when you push the little bar and it opens the door. That's an emergency egress door. And so really, if you have a certain number, I think it was over 75, if I'm not mistaken, over 50. You have to have, if it's over 50 in that room, you have to have the emergency egress door. And that's the capacity, not how many chairs are in the building, but the capacity, how many people they say you can have. And I thought I was sick because I tried to push one of the chairs out the door. And he was like, no, that's not going to count. So you put that ding for that. Also, your electrical wires, such as your extension cords. If you have extension cords running along the wall, they call that a fire hazard. If you have it hanging from the ceiling, they call that a fire hazard. I know you have the smaller churches. We try to run stuff and have all the different electrical outlets and running those extension cords along the wall and up the wall and around the wall and everything. That's a fire hazard. And he will come and cite you for every last one of them. Some other things he got us for is making sure that it's the structure is sound. Then they have what they call the life safety plan, and that's the architectural design that we look at when we see the buildings at the hospitals. And we have those little maps that tell you where you're at and how to get out. That's the life safety plan. And those life safety plans are not cheap at all. I think that's the one you said was about $15,000 for you guys. It was $5,000 just for the guy to come out and start for us. And so that's normally some of those major things. Go ahead.
Let me say this to you. Let us put together, let's sit down one day next week. Let's put together for the city of Jacksonville a booklet for new churches, planning churches, what to look for. Let me have you come in and you recite it, and I have my people transcribe it. And we put together some kind of booklet for new plant churches. I think we will help them tremendously because the body of Christ is under attack right now. With churches over 50 members having to be shut down, trying to find out a way to do it. We don't want pastors that are called to be ministered, the wind to be knocked out because they went about it improperly. They simply didn't know. We want to be agents of help to pastors and a guide. And then I will shop that guide around to multiple states with other friends of mine to put together a guideline, and hopefully we can do at least 10 major state guidelines here in North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Virginia, Texas, finding out state guidelines so that we can help ministries as they are being planted. They're being planted in cold that will save churches and allow ministry to go on. I'll leave you with this. That's one good statement, and I'll leave you, and so you hold my feet to the fire, you're able to call me a liar if I don't do it. So I appreciate you so much, man of God, and thank you so much for being on. All right?
All right. God bless you, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. So I got another caller that should be calling in just a minute, and Dr. White is hopefully on the line, and then I've got Dr. Brock right afterwards. But Dr. White, technology, the church, and let me know when Dr. White is there. Technology, I have two calls, okay? So technology has become crazy, and churches are trying to figure out across the nation. What are they going to do about service and streaming, and how are they going to stream their broadcast? You know, how do they make that happen? And how do we get the message out? I mean, some of them, we started talking streaming and streaming technology and said, hey, this is the way it's going. And none of them said anything to us. None of them moved forward. None of them were proactive concerning it. And so now you're at a devastating point. One of the things I'm doing is on Saturday, I'm putting together a workshop for churches. If you want to learn how to stream and what to buy and how to put it all together, we're going to put it together and take it apart and show you how to stream, how to put your ministry online, and what little it takes. For less than about $200, we can show you how to do a professional stream. And you want to get big time for about $500 or less, I can show you how to be able to do that in an effective way and do something that is impressive to the body of Christ. Now, I can tell you that what we're doing now is done in our studio here, a bunch of green screen technology and done, and we do a pretty good job. I can show you the technology aspect of how to put together a great production for your church with sound, music, and everything that you need to do, because many of you are having it from home. Pastor White, would you let me know what your last four numbers? I see 2697. 2697. Let's hear from the man himself. This is Dr. White from the Heritage Christian Center. I believe it is Heritage Christian Center. I hope I got that right. Dr. White? Dr. White, did I lose you? All right. Okay, Dr. White, if you can, will you give us a call back? He's a techie, so I'm sure that he said he's on. You got him? No, he says he's on the line now. 2697?
He said he's on. Oh, he said it's on. Y'all gotta chill with the
That's what he did. He hung up and called back. Okay. All right. I just sent him a message to Dolan. Technology is a very serious matter for churches that don't. Ask Dr. White, Heritage Christian Center. Did I get that correct?
You sure did, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing amazing, Dr. White. So glad to have you on tonight. I know that you're leading, one of the leading pastors in the city concerning technology. We've got about 402 people on with us now, and many of them are pastors that are and leaders and lay leaders in churches, and they're trying to figure out how do we make this thing work. And I want you to talk to them about how important it is for them to make this change and not wait it out.
Got it. Well, first, thank you so much for allowing me to share on your incredible platform. I really appreciate every opportunity that God provides, and I take them all to heart. I think it's incredibly important. It is a major component for us as we're able to reach more people online than we could in any one gathering. For the most part, if we have to sit in front of 3,500 people, our overhead, our staff, everything has to be incredibly expanded. We can do that with one live feed. You can hit upwards of several thousand. The reach is exponential. You can reach people across the globe. 5, all they have to do is use the device that they have with them 98% of the time. The studies show that people have their phones with them 98% of the time, and for us not to use that to spread the gospel is a tragedy. We are life givers, and we got to make sure that we take advantage of it and bring life to people at every opportunity we have. And technology today, Netflix is streaming, the news is streaming, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to be streaming as well. So I think it's essential.
Question, I guess, is how long has your church been streaming?
We've been streaming for several years. We use Holy Connection. They have been an incredible partner. Now, they're not a vendor to us. They're a partner. Vendors, of course, we pay vendors for service. Partners help us, you know, lift our arms, refresh us, keep us focused and locked into ministry, and keep us in sync with cutting edge. So I consider Holy Connection a partner and not a vendor.
Excellent, excellent. So you're using Holy Connection, and there are a couple of brands that are out there and products that are out there. Also, I can, there are some tools out there that if you cannot afford partnership because of this crisis, some of the churches, we can show you how to do it without, you know, how to do it independently and directly stream. The great part about being a part of a network like that is they have a kind of captive audience of people that that subscribe to them, that watch their product, and so you get a real target sensitive market that can be proponents or subscribers to what you're doing. So, you know, you kind of take it to the place where a lot of people are watching. So it's a great vehicle for you. I want to tell you, go ahead.
No, please, excuse me, go ahead, sir.
So now you've done television and done things. Do you think the online market gives you more influence and impact than just traditional television?
Yes, sir. So you mentioned that. So we were on television, and our largest, during the hour we were, the time we were on, we got into the second slot, and you understand that from the rating, which of course was increasing people during that morning slot. That for the money that we were paying, I didn't think that was a great return, if you will. Online, I can swallow that, and the cost, it doesn't even compare. It does not compare. I do believe that if we don't make an investment, it's very difficult for us to justifiably expect a withdrawal. But everything, there is a cost. So salvation is free. That's not true. Salvation costs you your entire life. Entire life. It doesn't have a monetary cost, but it has something far greater than that. We can put a monetary cost on an automobile, a home, but you cannot put a monetary cost on your soul. And salvation costs us surrendering that to the Lord Jesus Christ. So to say it's free, it undermines and cheapens the value of our soul. We start our relationship with God making investments. Now to send the gospel forth in a quality way, we want to make sure we make investments. I am an extremely wise steward of the resources the Lord has given. So I'll mention this. There are different price points that you want to look for with your partnership. So since I mentioned Holy Connection, when we started out with them, our budget wasn't then what it is now. There are different benchmarks, but the beauty of it is you have access to the same platform that the big boys or big girls do, if you will. It's not like unto, and I'm not doing this to be off or anything, but streaming faith. Their prices were much more handsome, so when you hear of a streaming partner, if you will, thinking of somebody that's, you know, it's going to be thousands or even you know, hundreds every single month, that can be a bit intimidating to someone who doesn't have a television budget like you and I have. Okay, so with it, it's nothing like that at all, nothing like that. And they walk you from A to B to C, so on and so forth. So it's very, very easy. The benchmark is real low for us to get in. Now, I'll say this, Bishop, junk in, junk out, of course. with anything, you want to make sure that your program is set up in a quality way, that you have good mics. You actually use your mics, your camera, your lighting, and all that. You may have to do that yourself, or they can assist you with it. But from a streaming standpoint, that's our streaming partner.
That's not a cheap setup, though, Doc. That's not a cheap setup.
Well, no, you're right, but it doesn't. I can point a person to how to set it up where you don't have to spend what I did. If that makes sense.
Well, yeah,
you can still get quality.
And that's so true, because if we had some of the mistakes we made when we were out there, we was plugging around, man. I'm on television in 30 markets still through the United States. I'm on radio on 50 markets Monday through Friday. And so I'm still stuck in that world because of agreements and some places that we don't have to pay any longer. It affected their ratings when we left. So I'm very grateful. But we're still, the production is still there, which is a lot more work than some days I want, Monday through Friday. But I will say this, we've learned a whole lot from an economic standpoint of how to do things and not let it break our head off.
And, right.
And so, pastors, I want to encourage you to plug into people that's doing it that may be able to facilitate some kind of class or vehicle. And while I said, pastor, it's got to be a class or vehicle or something, I don't care, some kind of love offering effects to it, because what people sow in, they appreciate.
Right. Look, absolutely. And with it, one of the things that you've mentioned, which I think is incredibly significant, the value that you brought to the station has caused them now to, well, you've been able to leverage that, if you will. You don't have to still pay now because of the value that you bring. And that's incredibly significant for us to keep in mind. The gospel has incredible value. It has incredible value. You don't have to pay for everything you're doing now. But there was a time that you had to pay. You understood that it was worth it to get the message out. And that's the component in place that we have to be. You know, now we have to be respectful to our budget, and I don't think you should make a commitment to something that will cause a hardship on your ministry. At the same time, I don't think we should be penny pinching the gospel, if you will. I do think you have to shop and make sure that you get the best for the resources, that those are kingdom resources. At the same time, we can't be in the Salvation Army line and we're trying to submit the gospel to people. It makes it difficult for a person to respect it when you're treating it as though it has no value.
So in other words, we've got to do it with the spirit of excellence when we do it.
Yes, sir.
It's almost like don't do it if you can't do it right.
Right. And stay cocked until you can fire with excellence. And when you shoot, blast it, baby, blast it.
Well, man of God, I thank you so much. We appreciate you. There's about almost 500 people that are just literally listening live now. We appreciate you for giving that great insight, which you've been a blessing to our city, and what you and your wife are doing in terms of media ministry. As I told you the other day, I was looking at something you did, and I said, I looked at it, I said, man, he's doing some awesome things. I like it. It appealed to me. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It had been a while since I had been to look at some of your stuff, and I got a chance to look at it, and I'm like, he's doing some awesome things. I mean, I may see it in my timeline, but I looked at it, and I was like, this is awesome, and you're doing some awesome stuff. So keep up the good work, and we appreciate you so much, man. Have a wonderful evening, and thanks for sparing your time. I know that's very valuable time. I don't take it lightly. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Blessings to you. And thank you so much for your kind words and your generosity and your warm spirit. Great hand of the Lord be upon you and all those that you touch. Thanks, sir.
Amen. Well, also Saturday morning, saints, we're having, if you're a pastor, you're part of a church, you know that you're struggling, Y'all got that iPhone and that iPad out trying to do worship on Sunday. Stop that foolishness. Come to my workshop I'm having Saturday morning and let me show you how to do it right. It's going to start right around, I guess, about 11:30. I'll start it, and we're going to show you kind of how to do it. If you get here early, then you get a chance to see some hands-on stuff that we're doing. But let us show you how to do ministry and how to do it right. And some of you can do it by webinar. You know, you can do it by webinar and look at it and, you know, pay for it in advance. And we'll give you a private group that you'll be able to get in, and only you will be able to get in for you to view it and to go over the material. I'm excited about your learning. But most importantly, you know, my gift is the gift of education and training. I am concerned about one thing, and I got Dr. Brock on. And, you know, one of the things that Dr. Brock posted that made me, that really said something to me, is that it's about time the church realizes that we have an opportunity. Now that the doors are shut, the church work doesn't stop. It gives us a chance to take it to the streets, take it to the fields. And I witnessed a church online having their services with people pulling up with their cars. They were pulling up with their cars, and these people were having open air service. Pastor had a bullhorn or a microphone system out. They were car in the church parking lot, and they were having service. And so in the midst of the corona and all of those kind of things, those churches came together. The pastor got the message out and preached. Now, there is no, to my knowledge, if you're in your car, there is no problem with you congregating and doing that. There is some technology out there that will allow him to broadcast on a specific radio channel. Listen to me, pastors, because some of y'all may need to have car church. As long as they're in the immediate mile radius of you, you can take over certain channels and broadcast your services to people that are there. Now, I guess you'll have to put some screens up and cash app the money and all of that for your offering and stuff like that. I don't know about that. But technology has made it really savvy for you to do it. Many of you are interested in how to be able to do this kind of stuff. I want you to contact me because some of your people want to be actually in service. And so having an open air service in the parking lot is a great opportunity, putting the screens up, doing it. And I can show you how to be able to take your services and take them outside and do them effective and still get your message and stream to those that did not come for that, that can be a part of the streaming ministry. So it's there. With everything that's going on, I'm concerned about the psychological implication of where the people are, not just in the church, but out of the church, the fear mongers, hatred, phobia, by sensationalism. And Dr. Brock, we've had many conversations, and hopefully he's still online. You can bring him online. We've had many conversations about we're fans of psychology and the human mind, but I am concerned. What do you think this leaves the world with all of this that's going on?
Hello?
Dr. Brock?
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. This number one, I think, first of all, I want to give a shout out to my brother, Pastor White. I always tell him he's the coolest pastor I've seen this side of the Mason-Dixon, him and his wife. So I want to give a shout out to him, my friend. And, of course, to you, extremely innovative young man of God. You know, I'm old school. No, I'm not just old school. I'm all school, okay? Because I believe in both old school and new school. And if we are cross-generational, we can teach each other things and find the strategies that God already has in the Word of God. You mentioned that open air as far as it's what the Crystal Cathedral actually started out with, Schuller, and it's very inexpensive to do when you find the technology to broadcast over the radio over just a short distance from your church to your parking lot. Very easy to do. In the car is not regulated because they're doing drive-in to the testing. So that's one way to do it. cell ministry again. These are things that are like redigging the old wells. We just have to come up with the strategies to reach
up
the people. Oh, I broke up, I guess. Hello? Oh. Yeah, I you know, there's static for some reason. I didn't understand why. Am I still coming through at all? I was trying to see if I was coming through at all.
A lot of anxiety, a lot of things that's going on. People are.
Excuse me?
Are you back, Doc? Dr. Brock? Dr. Brock?
Yeah, let me get back with you. Yes, can you hear me?
I'm glad you're back.
All right.
But you were talking about the Crystal Cathedral, and I went on and kind of explained. I want you to talk to us about what's your opinion with all of this fear that's being projected. People are, what do you think this leaves us and the church's position to address this fear?
Okay. Listen, this is what I believe needs to happen. As the church will be the church and minister to the psychological, spiritual needs of their congregations and deploy the church, putting the ministries out into the hedges and the highways to promote the faith and trust of God. That's the only way. Media is producing the fear, because they're not balancing that with the people that are recovering. So they should be balancing the reporting of what you need to do and to prepare, but also the fact that there are people that have had coronavirus and are recovering. So it's not a hopeless situation. The church, the body of Christ, should be promoting trust and faith in God like never before as we go into the hedges and highways. I really believe that this may be, I won't say it's an initiative of God, so to speak, but I believe it's an opportunity for the body of Christ to go into the hedges and highways where we were not being as evangelical as we were inviting everybody to come in, but we were not in the field as much as we should be. And I believe we need to be back to that. I believe it needs to be an evangelical, apologetic philosophy from the church that will deal with the psychology of this time.
Now, you used a big word. Use the word apologetic, and so most people may not understand that term, apologist. Explain that to us, what you mean. Do we need to apologize to the world? What does that mean? I know what it means, but
okay. I know you know what it means. It's a defense of the gospel, giving every man a reason why we have this faith, a reason why we're not in fear, a reason why we believe this is a time of opportunity. Anytime that there's a problem, creates an opportunity, okay? And with every problem in the Word of God comes a promise. God has a promise for every problem. It means we have the opportunity to access the resources of God for every problem that faces us. Like at one time, and you still hear it, where people, I don't understand these millennials. Well, that's a problem. Not that they can't be understood, but that you don't understand them. So now you need to educate yourself. I had a millennial simply tell me, get an urban dictionary so you can begin to understand what we're saying. Because if I went to a foreign land, I would need an interpreter. So there's terminology for each generation. There's terminology for each vocation. You're talking about being tech savvy. So there's a vocabulary for that. So we have to educate ourselves in order to communicate better. And the whole idea of being an apologetic is to communicate the gospel, why I trust God, why I am not fearful, why I think we can be progressive and we can access every promise from the Word of God for every problem that we have. God has already addressed, believe it or not, many people don't understand that, all of the things that we're going to go through in this life. I know controversially people don't like to teach revelations because there's so many metaphors and symbolisms, and so people get twisted up on that. But without teaching revelations, simply by acquiring a book of promises, I'll make it real easy. If someone went out and got a book of Bible promises and actually began to go through a book of Bible promises for every problem they had, they would have a reason to understand why we trust. Does that make sense?
I think it makes a whole lot of sense. And so we have to make them aware of why we trust and do what we do.
Yes.
As a pastor, so are y'all having church on Sunday?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I don't have. I spoke to a good friend of mine in Bishop McLaughlin of Potter's House International, and you know he asked for the same thing, and I said because I'm not the size that many of these other ministries are, I don't have that particular problem of dealing with masses of people, and so I said the main thing that I do with other than that is to break it down to cell ministry, to deploy the people that you have ministered to that you trust with the Word of God, and to let them have cell and home church, as well as breaking up the amount of services you may need to have. Now that they're talking about 10, but when it was at 50, you know, I sent that little thing out that said it was going to be the new the Minty 20, and then the N10 till finally we go pray. Okay? We ain't doing that.
I had suggested to pastors that they consider cell group ministry, and it's an important time. The parachurch network, that if every church has instituted a parachurch network within it, you could survive greatly. If you look at the Korean church, it's done extremely well with the parachurch network, that when they finally come together, large crowds, you build the intimacy among your people and you haven't lost anybody. It's an ingenious idea.
You know, where do you think the Korean church got that from? The Book of Acts. They went
absolutely.
From house to house breaking bread.
Absolutely.
The Book of Acts.
Well, we're going to have church on Sunday. We're going to use multiple auditoriums.
And you can have multiple services. You can literally, whereas we had, maybe we had one, we might have to have three different services. We might have to have multiple services during the week rather than just on a Sunday and another day out of the week. It's a matter of changing the strategy to meet the need. And I'm not going to begin to say one size fits all, and Dr. White and McLaughlin.
Now, you know, you can stream now. You can stream, Doc. I can set you up the stream for about $200, $150, $200, and just equipment, and it'll be amazing.
I'm not talking about cost, because you can buy equipment and still don't know what to do. And like Dr. White was saying, you know, they get the stuff and they put out this garbage, and people are going to be turned off. You know?
You're right.
So
you're absolutely right.
It's not just a matter of throwing money at it. It's a matter
some
of throwing
up the string and network it and the rod out.
You know, one thing I love about you is that you offer training. There's another brother I love, Bishop Williams. Training is critical for these pastors and teachers today. From these people that have developed certain expertise. It's like gifting, you know? So pretty much that's what I've said. I mean, I don't have to be redundant and keep repeating that. I think when here's the other thing, and I think this has to be the underlining paramount thing that we do. We have to seek God's faith for how he wants each individual to move forward.
Absolutely. That drives the nail in the wall if it does anything else. That is the most paramount and prolific thing. Bishop Brock, thank you so much. We really appreciate you. Thanks for your valued opinion. I respect you as a voice in Christendom today. Thank you so much, and we really appreciate you.
God bless you.
Have a wonderful day. Listen to me. I've got to wrap up. It's coming to the end of the day. I want to share this with you. I've got a class that we have that you need to plug into if you're looking for financial success and how you're going to make it through these times. If you're looking for a job opportunity, you're looking to start your own business, you're looking for a way to make money. Tomorrow morning, I'll be doing a webinar at 11 o'clock. A conference call, and he'll put the number up on the screen for the conference call we'll be doing tomorrow. You join in, call that number at 11 o'clock. I will teach you and train you how to no cost to you, how to start a business that'll make you about $500 a week up to 25. Well, they said there's no cap, but I've not seen anybody make over 2,500 a week. In my time, but I'm sure there are people out there that are making more than that. But that's 10 grand a month, and that's 120 a year doing something part time, a couple hours a week. So that's good money. So make sure you plug into that if you're looking. I'm leaving you. Gotta go. I'm out of time. But I will say this to you: I'm gonna do a dialogue. Put our calls on that number for calls in. If anyone has any comments, anything before we leave, I'm gonna be honest with you. As we're leaving, I believe that this is an effort to destroy the middle class. I do believe that we're under financial attack. That after this is all over, there will be no middle class. I really believe that. I believe the powers that be in their hands behind the scenes. Is it a real virus? Yes, it is. Is there someone out there behind the scenes, behind this? I absolutely believe this. How many of you feel that way? I don't know if you're out there and you want to call in. I've got 2 to 5 minutes at the most. You want to call in and give your opinion. And if the call come in, I'll stop talking and let you give your opinion. But I really believe that there is an effort by powers that be to destroy the economies of the world, to bring an equilibrium to it, and get rid of globally the middle class. Brick and mortar places will no longer be around the way they are. We're going to another wage. Is there anyone on that want to give a call and give your opinion? We've heard great speakers and great persons. I do not want to steal that opportunity. I'm getting ready to end tonight, but it may be someone that may want to call 516-590-0135 if you're out there and you have an opinion. If not tonight, I'm going to give that countdown. Let's see, does anyone call? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have no callers online. Am I correct, sir? All right. So we're going to call it a night. It's been a wonderful day. Listen to me, my friends. Information is what I've been pushing. I want you to become the most informed audience as we take a deeper look and look at things that are realistically going. Thank you again for your time and your attention. This has been your friend and brother, Dr. Z. I'm so glad to be coming to you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Authors, and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by our ministry. All material is gathered from other sources, and we only comment on publication and previous social formatted information. Due to the social nature of this information, it may contain content copyrighted by another entity or person. Deeper Look claims no copyright to said content. The Deeper Look can't be held accountable for the copyrighted content. The Deeper Look is a messenger and sharer of information, and strives to verify but cannot warrant the accuracy of copyrights or completeness of the information on this format. If you have a complaint about something or find your content is being used incorrectly, please contact the Deeper Look prior to making a copyright claim. Any infringement was not done on purpose and will be rectified to all parties' satisfaction.